Great. I love the diversity of our church in that last Sunday, not quite at this time, but we were just setting up to start the fun day. And this morning, we're just in silence in worship. And what a fantastic thing it is. And together, we're family in the presence of God, whether we're out there doing stuff for the community or whether we're in here worshiping, and as we have been this morning. And yeah, I would like you to turn with me to Jonah. Jonah, very short book in the Bible. It fits all on one page quite easily in my Bible. And a story that many will know very well because we get taught about Jonah and a whale or a big fish or whatever you call it. But I just I just want to share with you, and I've got like, I'm aiming for 15 minutes this morning. So I have to be good because I have to set an example for those that have to follow over the next few weeks, because I've told that all to them. So there we go. But no, I haven't started yet. So. When I finish reading, all right? So I'm going to read to you from Jonah chapter 3 and then a couple of verses in chapter 4. It says, and obviously Jonah is he's a prophet. He's a reluctant prophet. He doesn't want to go and do what God told him to do. Doesn't want to go to Nineveh to preach. So he escapes on a boat, gets thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish. You know, all of that stuff. Vomited up on the beach. He must have smelled bad once he got to Nineveh again. Anyway, chapter 3 says this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, he dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil way, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plan greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate, God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted what will not happen. And we'll stop there. Right, I need some volunteers. Let's have Josh and Isaac and Edie up here, please. I have not warned them about this. So I'm picking people that I know that are confident to come to the stage. I just want to play a little game. And we're going to see how well Isaac and Edie know Josh. 12 and a half minutes. This will be a short game then. I've only just finished reading this. I don't know if you know the sausage sandwich game. I'm going to ask a question of Josh, but he must not answer it until these two. They have to try and predict what his answer would be. So, and then Josh will tell us the correct answer. We'll see if they are right. So, Josh, first question is, your key ring with your front door key, I'm going to give you three options here. Does it have 1 to 3 keys on it? Does it have 4 to 6 keys on it? Or does it have more than six? Don't answer yet. Isaac, 1 to 3, 4 to 6, or more?
1 to 3.
4 to 6.
Oh, a difference. Let's see which one knows him best. Josh?
4 to 6. Oh,
well done, Edie. Okay. Come on, you're wasting my time here. Come on. The last time you went to a football match, when you got into the ground, did you buy a drink? A drink and something to eat? Or neither? So Josh does go to the football, usually takes Evan with him. So these two might not know. A drink and something to eat, or neither?
Yeah, drink and something to eat.
Drink and something to eat.
Drink and something to eat. They're both going for the same answer, Josh?
Yes, that's correct.
Got to buy a pie, haven't you, when you're... Okay. When Josh is watching a program on the TV live... So it's not recorded. Is he most likely to watch the adverts, channel hop while the adverts are on, or stay on the channel but leave the room to do something different?
Probably go on a loo break.
He'd leave the room.
Leave the room. They're both the same here. Josh?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, do something else.
Okay, final question, of course. The sausage sandwich question. Do you know this? No? Oh, you've never heard the sausage sandwich game. So if somebody were to give you a sausage sandwich, would you have red sauce, brown sauce, or no sauce at all? Don't answer yet. Red sauce, brown sauce, or no sauce at all?
No sauce.
No sauce. Controversial.
Yeah, no sauce.
Ooh.
Red?
Okay, you can sit down. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. So, Jonah, there was a point in the story, said, when he said to God, I knew that you would do that. I knew that you would be merciful. I knew that you would be compassionate. Therefore, that's why I didn't want to go and preach. And so I just wanted to play that little game there, just because, actually, the other day, Sarah was going to the shops, and I said, can you get me some deodorant? And they came back with two sorts, because they'd obviously been arguing in the shop about which one I would want. They said, which one of these two would you choose? And they were trying to predict which one. I can't remember who was right, actually. But we try and understand, don't we, other people. And actually, this morning, obviously, Jonah is this... Well, he's sometimes known as a reluctant prophet, but more likely disobedient and angry prophet. And God calls him to go and preach to Nineveh, and he refuses to go. He goes and gets on a boat to try and escape to Tarshish, which we think is probably Spain, so he's going a long way away in the opposite direction, and ends up, there's a storm, and he's thrown overboard, as we know, and he gets vomited on the beach. And so God speaks to him a second time, and he says, come on, it's time to go. And this time, reluctantly, he heads to Nineveh, and he preaches perhaps the shortest message we've heard, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And he's disappointed when the people of Nineveh listen to his preaching. It's a very strange preacher that is disappointed when people ignore, when they listen to what they say. And he's disappointed that this happens, and he's angry with God because these people have repented and they've turned from their sin and God has not destroyed them. And he says, I knew it, God, what you would do. He's not the, you know, it doesn't take a lot, actually. He knew something about God's character. And it was this, Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7, but repeated throughout the Old Testament, this scripture, and Jonah repeats it here. And this is when they've been given the commandments on the mountain, and Moses has gone up the mountain and meets face to face with God. And the first thing that God says to Moses is this: I am Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generation. Jonah knew, because this was often quoted, he knew that God is compassionate, slow to mercy, full of love for 1,000 generations. That's the first thing that comes to his head. I don't want to preach in Nineveh because God will forgive them. Many times we read the Old Testament and we see God's judgment, but actually Jonah sees God's compassion and mercy. Too often preachers seem to gloat in the message of judgment that they preach. But Jonah knows God's character is mercy. It's the covenant promise. Throughout the Old Testament we see a merciful God. And the problem for Jonah is he doesn't want to preach that way. Because Nineveh are the enemy. They've been oppressing the Israelites for 100 years or so. And you read the story of Elisha and Naaman, and there's a little girl. She's been kidnapped and taken away and made the servant of the captain of the guard, Naaman. She'd been taken from Israel, and that's their experience in Israel for 100 or so years. People being kidnapped, crops being stolen. All of that's been going on. Jonah does not like them, and he loves his nation. And he's got this dilemma because he's patriotic. He loves Israel, and he hates Nineveh, but God wants him to preach, and he knows that God's compassionate. And Nineveh gets the opportunity to repent, and they do. They turn from their sin, and they put sackcloth and all of that stuff. Now, we see later prophets prophesying, Amos and Micah prophesying again to Nineveh, you need to repent, because they obviously turn back to their sin. And later, again, 100 years or so later, they too are destroyed. But mercy comes first. And in this passage that we read from Exodus, God is merciful and compassionate. And it goes on to say, but he's not endlessly merciful and endlessly compassionate. Eventually, judgment will come, and Nineveh faces judgment in the end. The thing is here that Jonah knew that of God. He knew that God was merciful and compassionate. The interesting thing that I just want to draw your attention to this morning is the response of the people in this story to God. Jonah is angry. He doesn't want God to do what God does. He doesn't want to preach repentance. And he sits down to watch the city destroyed. The end of the story. He sits and waits for God to destroy, and then he's angry with God that he doesn't. And there are Christians that are like that. We look at our world and we sinful people, and we say, God, would you judge them? All I can say this morning is, if you preach judgment, you preach judgment with tears in your eyes. Because God is merciful and compassionate. And the last thing he wants is to bring judgment. But the other characters in this story, the sailors, we haven't read the verses, but Jonah said, throw me overboard, it's my fault, this storm. And they said, no, we won't. And they tried to row and they tried to lighten the load and all this. Eventually, they came to the place where they said, we're going to have to throw him overboard. But they prayed, God, forgive us. And then they worshipped God when the storm stopped. They're in fear and repentance towards God. That's not what you expect from sailors. And then the Ninevites, other people in this story. Again, not what you expect to hear. They're in fear and they're in repentance before God. And actually, this story is one where everything's turned on its head. The prophet who's supposed to listen to God and does what he says is angry with God and doesn't do what he says. And the people that are supposed to not be responding to God, the sailors and the Ninevites, they respond to God. And it's all upside down. So just as I sort of draw this to a close, what on earth is the book of Jonah about? Because it's quite weird. It's very short. It's got strange stories in it. And it's got a prophet who's angry and doesn't want to see people respond to his preaching. And it's about us. It's about how do I respond to God? Am I going to respond like Jonah, or am I going to respond like those people who were full of sin and yet they heard God's voice? Because the challenge of this book is not about, you know, the incredible miracle of a fish and all of those things. It's about, am I listening to what God says? Am I responding in obedience? Because it's easy for us to be angry like Jonah. It's easy for us to be caught up with stuff that's happening around us and forget to hear God's voice. Right at the end of the book, God provides, Jonah's watching, waiting for the city to be destroyed. 40 days, so he must have sat there 40 days, don't know. And God provides a shady plant for him. We know the importance of shade over the last week, don't we, or 10 days, where you want to get out of the sun because it's so hot. And Jonah's sitting there waiting, and a plant grows and gives him shade, and he's thankful to God for creating a plant. And yet when God forgives, I'm running ahead of myself, and then God destroys the plant and he's angry with God. God's created a plant which has given him some benefit. And God says, what about the people? What about the people that I created? I made these people and you want me to destroy them. And I made this plant and you're angry that I did. You're a hypocrite, Jonah. You're a hypocrite. And I suppose the question this morning for us is, are we reacting like Jonah, or are we reacting like the sailors, the Ninevites? Are we responding to what God is saying, or are we an angry person? We need to preach mercy when it doesn't fit our agenda. Jonah's agenda was destroy the enemy, but God's agenda was not. We must be repentant ourselves, repent of our arrogant attitudes. The danger is that we're self-important. We think we're better than them. That's how Jonah was. We come to him in humility and ask for mercy. And we extend mercy to those we think don't deserve mercy. It's not your job to judge. It's your job to preach the truth and let God do his work. And that's my final challenge to us. How are we responding? Like Jonah or like the others? And I'm going to pray. And maybe you'll just want to, as we pray, just say, God, I want to be humble. Not arrogant, not angry, not destructive, but turning myself over to your mercy, Father. And as I pray, maybe you can pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God, that you are a compassionate God. Father, that your first response is to be merciful. And Father, we know that we need your mercy. And Father, we come before you in humility this morning. And we bow before you and declare we need your mercy. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us, we pray. Father, help us. Help us to be like the Ninevites. Help us to be like the sailors. Hearing your voice, responding to your voice. And Father, we pray you'd help us with that. In the name of Jesus, amen.